Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Once that area is cleared, that area then has to be held. Ultimately, the strategy will be to transfer the security responsibility of an area to the Afghans.
That's White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. He was talking about what the president will be speaking about at West Point tonight. Obama will deliver a major speech that's expected to announce that 30,000 more troops will be deployed to Afghanistan. And we have two people here that will be watching that very carefully, both veterans of the war in Afghanistan. We are joined again by retired Sergeant Steve Husong, who served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2003 and is now the host and producer of a pre-production show called Redeployed. Good morning again. Also, Army Reservist Major Adrian Dicker-Kaczynski. She's on the advisory board of the Rebuilding Afghanistan Foundation. That's a nonprofit group focusing on education. Also served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2003. Good morning to you as well, Adrian.
Good morning.
You may have heard earlier Steve saying that he feels that the mission of going to Afghanistan and training the Afghan forces within 5 years was not possible. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I unfortunately, I didn't get to hear all of Steve's statements, so I hesitate to say whether I agree or disagree at this point.
Well,
I think
Steve, what was your statement real quick? Can you repeat that for Adrian?
What they're talking about doing is going in there, and they said, I guess they're going to clear out the Kunar Province up there at up by the border, and then they said within 5 years they're going to completely turn it over to the ANA, which, if they do that, what's going to happen is the ANA is going to get their butt kicked, and they're just going to get retaken over again.
Adrian?
And the ANA is the Afghan National Army.
Right. Adrian?
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know if I entirely agree with that, Steve. I mean, again, I think this all comes down to how well this gets resourced and then the ability of the Afghans to create a national army that's responded to the needs of each particular province, as well as to the overall goals of the nation. So, it's hard for me to address a specific, element of, well, the Afghan National Army needs to do this and the police needs to do that. I mean, I think that my concern as I wait to hear what President Obama has to say today is that I hope that he is willing and ready to commit the U.S. to a long-term presence in Afghanistan, one that will start with a heavier troop presence to secure stability in the first year or two, accompanied and ultimately overtaken by an overarching civilian strategic plan to build federal, provincial, and local institutions and capacities. So to me, the question of success in this entire endeavor is not purely a military one. It is also one that builds the civilian institutions and socioeconomic development capacities. That is the most critical part of any kind of commitment on our part.
So you're looking but you're looking for more a strategy similar to Korea, where we had troops in there, and then later we sustained a presence that perhaps in many ways was not military to promote stability in that region.
Yeah, I guess the point I try to make is that I think that in the beginning there has to be a troop surge. There does need to be a heavier troop presence. But the real work and the important work is rebuilding the civilian infrastructure and the institutions and capacities of the country. That can't be done until there is a greater level of security, which currently doesn't exist. For various reasons, good and bad, we have not yet resourced any aspect of this commitment to the extent necessary in Afghanistan.
There'll never be any kind of security there. It's a warrior culture. I mean, you figure this is what they'll do. They'll take everything we can possibly give them. There's no doubt about that. And you send in, a bunch of brigade combat teams and a bunch of Marines, and everybody's here for a second. And then what's going to happen is that the second we start to pull out, they're gonna build up again. They're gonna start coming across the Pakistan border, and it's gonna turn into a nightmare again. It'll turn into genocide. I mean, it's not like in Korea, they split it down the North Korean South Korean border, and then we kept up a heavy duty military presence, and then we built up Korea on the south side, and North Korea basically went broke. They were backed by the communists, and it was a very set Cold War with people overlooking it. But you're not talking about people who are going to answer to anybody. It's like the Jihad Olympics over there. They're never going to stop. The only thing that's going to make these people stop is to punish them bad enough to where it's not worth their while to go over there at all.
Okay, well, let's bring in another guest now, because if the president is talking about sending in 30,000 more troops, that means we're going to have 30,000 more potentially Afghanistan veterans, and that brings us to National Guard Specialist Marco Reiniger. Good morning, Marco.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. Your concern here is the care of these veterans. We're going to go back to the strategy, but if we have 30,000 more veterans, are we already taking care of the Afghan veterans who are coming home now before we add these new ones?
Well, we've come a long way from when we first invaded Afghanistan and the war started, but. The crucial point is to stay on that path and make sure that, you know, legislation reflects our endeavors to take care of these service members. That's the main thing here. We've had, you know, made great strides, especially with the passing of the Defense Authorization Bill, the VA's budget being appropriated a year in advance. Obviously, the GI Bill, which was a huge success, but it's very right. It's like you said, we need to take care of these troops that we send to combat, and they come back as memorials of these wars. So that's a major point.
Major Kaczynski and Sergeant Steve Hussong, it strikes me really hard that for both of you who served at roughly the same time in Afghanistan, that one of you would be completely giving up on the building up of civilian infrastructure in Afghanistan as a mission, while Major Kaczynski believes that's the only approach. That divergence actually frightens me, anticipating what Obama is going to say tonight. Could I get a quick comment from both of you?
Yeah, no, here's what I'd like to say. Here's why I fervently believe the U.S. has an obligation to secure a stable Afghanistan. We are looking at a state teetering on the brink of disaster. It's situated between an unstable Pakistan, often in conflict with India, both countries possessing formidable nuclear arsenals, and a volatile Iranian leadership with disturbing nuclear weaponry ambitions. With a current history of harboring a motley crew of global violent extremists hell-bent on exporting their nihilist vision worldwide, and whose economy and society are on the verge of becoming a narco-slave state where hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, flow to criminals and terrorists, and the majority of the population is effectively enslaved to illicit contraband trafficking, thereby depriving Afghanistan, Pakistan, and neighboring countries in the region of desperately needed tax revenues to serve their people. So to sum up, a vicious cycle of poverty leading to desperation, to corruption, to instability, all gladly exacerbated and incited by violent religious extremists and financed by amoral criminals in a region with nukes. What is good about such a status quo?
Very quickly, I'm sorry, we have very little time left. Steve, did you have a quick response to what Adrian just said?
Well, she just basically what she says is the country's run by a bunch of criminals and she's worried about Pakistan's nukes, which makes a lot of sense. But there's no exit strategy. If we can go in there and do as much damage as we can to make it not worth their while, that would be worth doing. But if you're going to dump a ton of money in there to make them love us, I don't think it's going to do a lot of good once we leave there, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, some very conflicting voices from Afghanistan. That's retired Sergeant Steve Hussong, served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2003. Major Adrian Dicker Kaczynski served at about the same time. And also National Guard Specialist Michael Reiniger joined us. He served in Afghanistan in 2008. Thanks to all three of you.